Let's go to the Buyers Barricades hotline. We welcome in Ken Carman, CBS Sports Radio. Hang on.
I know Ken Carman. I've been on his show before.
Hey, Ken. Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. What's the buzz right now in Cleveland? What are people saying right now? Number one pick, LeBlanc. What's the buzz right now on your show this morning?
And before this all started, everybody wanted Baker Mayfield, and then like 3 weeks went by, and I kept going, you're going to hear nothing. You're going to hear something else about Baker Mayfield. And a whole bunch of people, no. And then yesterday, Baker Mayfield gets brought up, and it's amazing. All these Baker Mayfield fans who are down here go, no, I want Sam Darnold. Don't take Baker Mayfield.
You know what? We were just talking about this. It seemed like everybody and their brother was sending Josh Allen to the Browns like a week or so ago. And then I don't know if cooler heads prevailed or information was gleaned from somewhere, but now I got Peter King, now I got Mike Mayock, now I got all these other insiders saying that they suspect Sam Darnold is going to the Browns. Was anybody in Cleveland ever okay with a guy that's never been a really good quarterback being the quarterback?
There were a couple people who've seen too many Disney movies who were...
Oh, yeah.
Who seriously thought, you know, this guy's, go ahead.
He's like Gaston. We call Mike Vrabel Gaston because he's never actually delivered. He's like this big strapping lumberjack of a dude, and yet he hasn't delivered on it. And I feel like that's Josh Allen.
Well, he's a nice guy, and that's the best thing you can say about him is he's a real nice guy. And that's about it. Like, the rest of it, it doesn't compute. And everywhere you go with Josh Allen, when you start talking about him, you get about two sentences in, and then you start making excuses for him. I go, why would I want a quarterback like that at number one? So I think there's a couple of scenarios playing out. One is that John Dorsey's been on the job for almost a half a year now, 6 months. But he's still technically new, and he's kept a lot of guys from his staff, from the old staff on his staff. And I still wonder whether or not he's trying to find out who's loyal and keeping quiet and who's not. I think some of this stuff is to flush out who's going to stay and who's going to go.
You know, he might be doing it. Could it be one of those diabolical things where, like, he leaks bad information to like three different guys, like a different piece of information to each one, and then depending on which report surfaces,
he knows. Yes.
So maybe one of those guys was the Josh Allen guy.
Well, you know, this is that he doesn't even necessarily have to lie, because you don't want to lie to anybody, because it's still a close-knit community in the NFL. So if he goes up to someone and goes, you know, it's going to be real hard to pass on Josh Allen at number one. He's got a lot of talent. Well, that's not a lie.
Yeah.
It will be hard. He does have some talent.
Yeah.
Ken Carman, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, joining us on the Buyers Barricades hotline. Do people in Cleveland, when you guys look back and look at the misses in the last couple of years, are people more bothered, Ken, by passing on Carson Wentz or passing on Deshaun Watson?
Wentz, and then Watson.
Yeah,
it's one and two. Watson is still. It's weird. My co-host like pounded the table for Deshaun Watson. I went, nah, not at number one. He goes, yep, number one. And we'd be in a different scenario right now. If they'd have taken Deshaun Watson, even at number one, maybe Sashi Brown still has a job. But the Wentz thing, it was so weird just because I just assumed, I didn't even really care for Carson Wentz. I go, nah, some of this stuff just doesn't make sense. But I kind of resigned myself to the fact that they're going, okay, they're drafting second overall, and we're going to take Carson Wentz now. That's the way it's going to work, and we'll see. And then they made the trade, and everybody loved the trade because you're not taking Carson Wentz. You're stockpiling all these picks. And then it wasn't just where Carson Wentz was okay and things like that. He was just amazing. So people are certainly way more upset about Carson Wentz than they were about Deshaun Watson, because there were a lot of people who liked Deshaun Watson. There were a lot of people, I think, who have revisionist history about Carson Wentz, though. And they still say, well, it's the Browns' job to get that figured out, and they didn't, and that's why people should be fired. And then people did get fired.
In the John Dorsey-Hugh Jackson relationship, what am I missing here? What's the connection as to why Hugh Jackson still has a job after winning only one game in 2 years?
The ownership really, really likes him.
Really?
They really think he's the guy. They thought that Sashi Brown and his commitment to stockpiling and getting ready for the future was just not the right thing. If he'd have hit on a few picks, like he could have kept his job.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a first-round pick in Coleman who's barely stayed on the field as a wide receiver, you've had a couple of other guys who have been, like Manuel Agbas has been okay, and I think Larry Ogunjobi's a pretty good player. But when you have these wide receivers, it wasn't like they didn't take wide receivers. They took four, and they're all Not good. You got guys who can't catch. And then, again, they've passed up on quarterbacks. They still took Cody Kessler, who's no longer with the team, and they still took Deshaun Kizer in the second round and started him before all the quarterbacks last year, before Deshaun Watson. And so, yeah, he's not around anymore because I can't even make an argument for your draft. I like Sashi Brown. He's a good dude, but I can't even make an argument for your draft selections.
Ken, gut feeling, is LeBron leaving or staying?
60% leaving.
60% leaving.
What do you think it depends on? How much does it depend on what happens in the playoffs and what happens with these other teams?
What players are willing to come here? And I'm not talking about young, exciting superstars. I'm talking about guys who are either on the cusp of over the hill or are older again, because I think that there's a lot of young guys. Kyrie, I think, was a signal where there's a lot of young guys that they were kids. They were some of them. I mean, gosh, he's been playing for 15 years. They were toddlers when he started in the NBA. And I think there's a lot of young guys who want to forge their own way, and Kyrie was the first, like, wave of those players. So I think that it'll take players coming here, and then it'll take lifestyle. I don't think that Philadelphia is really the destination for him. I still think it would either be Miami again or L.A. or just back here in Cleveland if they can come up with something that is going to make sense for him.
Did Dan Gilbert genuinely regain some of the goodwill of LeBron James with the moves they made, was that just a short-term solution?
I don't think they've ever trusted each other.
Yeah.
I even think before LeBron left the first time in 2010, I don't think they trusted each other. There's always two sides to it, and Dan Gilbert played the victim very, very well, and I was all worked up over it because, you know, I'm a Cavs fan growing up, and I was upset about it just like anybody else and called LeBron a whole bunch of nasty things that, yeah, I took back and regret because he's a great player. But, I don't think that they've ever trusted each other. I think LeBron does – I don't think he trusts – bosses. I don't think he trusts a lot of head coaches. I think there's about a handful of men in his life who he trusts, and then the rest share his last name, and that's all the people around him. I think it's his friends, two high school coaches, and that's about it. I think that that's just all the people that LeBron truly trusts.
Ken, do you have any sense for I don't think LeBron would end up in Houston unless the stars really align. Obviously, the draw would be playing with his buddy Chris Paul. It would be the last real chance for those guys to play together at, you know, relative close to peak to their powers. Do you have any feel for that or not at the moment? I agree with you about the LA and possibly Miami with the lifestyle.
Well, is there a connection there? Houston seems like a fun town. I know Landry's having a hell of a time down there.
He has got himself a woman and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. She's beautiful, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any connection that he has with the city of Houston? Because I people bring up Philly, and I'm going, man, Philly's just a bigger Cleveland. He can stay in Cleveland if he wants. And there's also a thought of it, man. You guys got a good thing going down there, and anybody who can sign LeBron probably will sign LeBron. But doesn't he take the air out of the room a little bit when he gets in there? Like Philadelphia, Embiid, and Simmons, and everybody's so excited, and then he gets there. Nope, it's all about LeBron now. And if LeBron goes to Houston, yeah, you got James Harden everybody's excited about, and Paul and Clint Capella's playing at a different level. And nope, it's all for the glorification of LeBron now, because there's only one guy who's really chasing the all-time greatest. And we can argue about the varying degrees of how close he is to him. I know I'm not here for that discussion, but if you take LeBron, you take the whole package, and that can be a very dramatic, very tedious and infuriating thing at times. It can also be beautiful. I mean, he puts up games that are unhuman, but it can be a very difficult process.
Well, yeah, how did you guys handle that in January where, I mean, it's hard to describe whatever LeBron was doing as anything other than he checked out on the team in January.
There are people who wanted to trade him because they thought he was leaving right then and there. Like, they wanted the Cavs to go to him and say, listen, we know you're not staying. You know you're not staying. Waive your no-trade clause. Let's move on from this. And I think that's what cost him any serious consideration from the MVP. I think a lot of people got very angry with him because he is powerful enough that he can take – it wasn't like he was going out there and winging the ball from across court like Andrew Bynum or anything like that. But he just can take a certain edge off and – and he can play just a little bit tapered back, and it can make a huge difference to the basketball team. And I think he did that to prove a point, to show that these players around him were not that good. You had a lot of guys who got fat off the essence of the Cavs over the last couple of years, got paid, they didn't care anymore, and they had to be shipped out, or they just had to make changes because they were a little bit too old. And I think that infuriates a lot of voters and a lot of basketball fans, is that basketball is a very difficult game to play by finely tuned athletes. It's very tough. And for him to be able to just turn it on and off, that's almost unfair. And he can do that.
Ken, excellent stuff. Always enjoy hearing you on Sunday nights on the network. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys very much. Take care.
Ken Carman, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland via the Byers Barricades hotline. Before we chat with our good friend John Lopez, let's hit the meltdown on a